And that movie sucked.
Yeah. Well, hello.
Here we go.
So let's talk about the movie we just got done watching.
Yes.
Great movie.
I did not care for that movie at all.
Pretty interesting.
Go to the page and have a question.
Let's talk about the movie we just had been watching.
Yes.
Let's talk about the movie we just had been watching.
Yes. And that movie sucked.
Yeah. Well, hello. Welcome to That Movie Podcast.
I'm Alex.
I'm Quincy.
And we're here with In Theaters this week. Of course, the hot new one right now, The Man with the Iron Fists, the RZA's latest film.
Does he have other films, or is this his first?
This would basically be his first. He wrote the screenplay with Eli Roth. He directed it. He came up with the story for it. He stars in it. It's all about him. So.
Yeah, this is his first attempt, right?
As far as directing, yeah.
Okay. And he's a member of the Wu-Tang Clan?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, what'd you think?
You know, for the most part, I enjoyed it. I was hoping I would enjoy it a lot more than I did. I cannot say that its kung fu is weak, but I cannot say that it is all that strong either. How about you?
Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah, I agree. It looked like it was going to be a nice throwback.
Oh, yeah.
Like I don't know.
Shaw Brothers and all that stuff. But.
Yeah. To me, a lot of it seemed kind of forced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, the worst thing about it was the fight scenes just weren't cool.
Yeah.
They were lame. It had really lame wire work. The choreography was not all that special. And especially the way it was filmed and edited, it wasn't fun to watch. And every time you kind of felt like it should be cool, it just, at no time was it as cool as it should have been. Like the first half hour, I was pretty much with it. Like all the different weapons and the gadgets and like the dude's suit of armor with spikes that shoot out of everywhere. I thought that was cool. I loved the different animal-themed clans and how they looked like the animals and kind of behaved that way. And all the different weapons I thought were neat.
Yeah.
But after that, I thought that when it started relying on the story and started making you give a crap, I mean, number one, there really is no story.
There's not much of one, admittedly. And, you know, it's kind of traditional with kung fu films that they're not really strong on story.
But there's also a reason why they're not real popular in the cinemas nowadays. And it's because of that. But
yeah.
I don't know. They're just... It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed some aspects. I thought that his choice to incorporate CGI in was a bad choice.
Yeah.
He should have just stuck to practical effects.
Oh, absolutely.
But I thought, like, the brass guy, I thought he was cool.
Yeah.
But I thought that, like, every time he kind of transformed using the CGI, it just kind of pulled me out of the movie. And I thought it was kind of boring. Like, in the middle,
were parts that kind of drag. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, I was expecting this to be a little bit more...
Oh, yeah.
Slam bam, over the top, nonstop action.
Yeah, I was totally thinking it was going to be a throwback to all the Chop Saki films, especially given the fact that, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan had their own line of videos of, you know, all the kung fu movies back in the early part of this century, if not the later 90s or something. But, I was really kind of pumped up for it, but ultimately it just was kind of there.
So would you say it's worth theater price? Would you advise to go see it or not?
If you can get into the cheap seats during the day. I saw it during the day. I paid my $4 and I was like, right, here it is.
But yeah, I think you might not miss much if you wait for Redbox.
Probably not.
You know, so.
Yeah. So you just recently saw Seven Psychopaths, right?
Yes, I saw Seven Psychopaths.
Yeah, finally.
It's the new one by Martin McDonagh.
Yeah, McDonagh.
And he's the guy that did In Bruges. He's a playwright, a pretty big playwright over in the UK. And I was a big fan of In Bruges. I wasn't the biggest fan of Seven Psychopaths. I was really kind of let down. It was okay.
Yeah.
It was more like just introductions to interesting characters, but none of these characters were like flushed out at all. I thought Christopher Walken was entertaining.
Yeah.
Tom Waits was great. But all in all, I thought it was like just a bunch of people sitting around talking about, I don't know, it was almost like he watched Pulp Fiction and was like, hey, you know, it's been about 15 years since anyone tried to do a Pulp Fiction type movie.
Yeah, see, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it was funnier than shit. I just always laughed at something.
I didn't really laugh a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Walken said a couple things that were funny, but all in all, I mean, to be honest, Sam Rockwell just got on my nerves. From the opening scene, I pretty much knew that he was the dude.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, admittedly, Sam Rockwell was not one of the stronger roles. I thought Colin Farrell just...
Colin Farrell could have been anyone, in my opinion. I thought he was really kind of wasted.
Mm.
And after great turns in Bruges
and
Fright Night, I was kind of expecting something more, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm. I thought that he was kind of wasted. I know that he can be funny. I didn't think he was. Because his role was essentially the put-upon guy.
Yeah.
But he really wasn't all that put-upon. I thought the whole ad asking for the psychopaths was just kind of weird and a weird thing that they didn't do anything with except to just kind of get meta. And then, but I mean, I thought Tom Waits was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought his story was interesting,
but
it did nothing and it went nowhere and didn't have much to do with anything.
But you had Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, like I said, it's like there was... The whole time when I was watching it, I was like, you know, you should really be enjoying this a lot more than you are.
Hmm.
Because, yes, it had every element that... And it was one of those I walked in thinking there's no way I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, there's just... And maybe that's the case, you know. Maybe my expectations were just too high. I should have saw it sooner. It's proof of why you don't wait.
See?
But See? It wasn't a horror movie, and it came out in October, so it's its own fault, not mine.
Well, I don't know. I saw it in October. You know, I enjoyed
it. Yeah, you're a rule breaker. I mean, we all have our own personal commitments, Alex.
This is true.
My personal commitment was nothing but horror in October.
Well,
so, I didn't watch any movies that were not horror, unfortunately.
Hey, you know, you stood by that, and that's all well
I did, and I was envious.
You got three
You
podcasts.
Got to see Looper.
Hell yeah, I got to see Looper.
Yeah. I know, and now I'm so sad. I mean, really...
It's around somewhere.
What it boiled down to, I walked out of Seven Cycle Pass...
Wishing you'd seen Looper.
Yeah, me and my wife both were like, we could have saw Looper. We should have saw Looper. And ultimately, that is a movie that fails, in my opinion. If it doesn't at least, like, entertain you enough to make you not think about, hey, you know, I could be seeing this other movie right now. I don't know.
Damn.
So, and don't get me wrong, I didn't think it was terrible. I think that, like, different circumstances, and, like, if I had rented it and, like, on a weekend with nothing to do and popped it in, I could really enjoy it, and I still might have the potential to really enjoy it. A lot of times it reminded me almost of Scream 4, Ooh. In the way that it just kind of seemed really in love with itself and its dialogue and how witty and self-referential it was being, and, you know, it just kind of, at times, it just seemed a little smug, almost like... I just wanted to be like, you know what, you're not quite as cool as you think you are, guy. And that's just, and I don't know, that's what I kept feeling when I was watching that movie. I just kind of wanted to put it in its place. And I shouldn't have been wanted to. I should have been like, man, that's a cool kid I want to hang out with.
Dang.
Not the, oh, that's kind of the doofus that thinks he's cool. And I got to show him how he's not cool. So, anyway, so you saw Flight.
I did see Flight. I, the new Robert Zemeckis film with Denzel Washington. I enjoyed it. I personally thought it was pretty good.
It's the one where he's an airplane pilot, flies the airplane upside down and lands and...
Yeah, he makes the miraculous landing that nobody else can make.
But then they find out he's had like a blood point level that was, he was legally drunk, so it's like a courtroom drama. I'm just judging by the previews.
The preview kind of misleads a little bit. I mean, it's really about the crash and ultimately... Kind of, you know, who's going to take responsibility, and they kind of get into the investigation somewhat. It's kind of him having to deal with, you know, the six people that have died. Then, of course, there, you know, it comes up to, you know, the court case where, you know, close to the end, not to give anything away.
Spoiler alert!
But it's pretty enjoyable. You know, you kind of get into the whole human drama thing of it.
I've heard it's more meditation on addiction than anything else.
It is.
What the movie or the trailers. Really
The preview really doesn't tell you all the just you know, how he's kind of going almost through like rehab and different things. But personally, I thought it was worth seeing. So
yeah.
If you get around to it, definitely check it out. So
it's definitely on my list. It looked good, and it's hard to go wrong with Denzel Washington, in my opinion.
True. So yeah, that's it for the in theaters.
Special feature. Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Those kids were fast as lightning. All right, for this show, we decided to do our top five martial arts films in honor of The Man with the Iron Fists. So to kick things off...
At least in honor of our anticipation.
Yeah, at least in honor... Yeah, no shit.
So, all right, Alex, throw down your list.
This is how excited we thought we were going to be
for
this movie. So we're like, well, all right, let's not let this go to waste. So yeah, for those of you who were disappointed with The Man with the Iron Fist, here's some other films that are much more interesting and exciting.
They're actually good.
Yes.
Go check these out.
All right. First up on my list, Bruce Lee's first film, The Big Boss. Love this film. You know, not enough good things to say about it. You know, made over in China. If you're looking for it here in the States, if they haven't already started calling it The Big Boss, you might find it under Fist of Fury was the American title.
Mm.
So you might find it under that one.
I own that then.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Good choice. Let's see. Next up, the David Carradine classic Circle of Iron, which was, oddly enough, written by Bruce Lee and supposed to star Bruce Lee, but, you know, whoops, things kind of went astray, and Bruce ended up passing away. But, so Carradine came in, took over, and had multiple roles. You know, it's just a film that, you know, completely embodies the whole spirit of martial arts and all forms and philosophies. And like I said, I always thought it was a pretty solid movie. And then, of course, the ultimate showdown between David Carradine and Chuck Norris in Lone Wolf McQuaid. You know, again, just absolutely love that film. Have ever since I saw it back in 1980, whenever. Next up on the list is the Jackie Chan classic, Drunken Master. Jackie Chan's got a lot of good films out there, don't get me wrong, but there's just something about this particular film that I have just always latched onto. I've always been a sucker for, like, instructional films, which I think is another reason why I like Circle of Iron. Jackie going through, you know, learning the drunken technique. That shit just kills me. I just, you know, I eat that for breakfast. And so, yeah.
Did you know that the director's father taught Jackie Chan that the drunken style?
I did not.
And that's why they filmed that, and it was after they had basically given up trying to make Jackie Chan into the next Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And they kind of just gave that up and then made Drunken Master to kind of show.
Huh.
And they picked him because basically the director of Drunken Master, his dad, came up with the drunken fighting style.
Wow.
And had actually taught Jackie Chan in real life, so that's why he knew it. And
well, how about that? Okay. Yeah. And then, last but not least, in fact, I was almost tempted to throw this out there as a stipulation, because I'm sure it's on your list as well, because you can't talk about martial arts films without talking about Enter the Dragon.
It's not on my list.
Shock and amaze.
Oh, that's not that shocking. What year did it come out? Oh, mine. Was... Or like within the last 20 years.
Because, yeah, like I said.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I saw them all and I enjoyed them when I was younger. They're just not ones I've watched as adults, so I don't really remember them.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's like pretty much what martial arts film doesn't owe something to Enter the Dragon.
For sure.
You know, I mean, hell, even Man with the Iron Fist, the whole scene with the mirrors, I'm just going, oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my top five. I mean, what more can you say about Enter the Dragon? You know, just those three words. So.
All right, well, for me, I've got all five different ones.
Hey, all right.
But at least that'll keep it interesting, and that'll provide the listeners with 10 kung fu martial arts movies to go check out. So, first on my list is IP Man. fairly recent. It's based on a real character from Chinese history. It stars Donnie Yen, and it's a really cool movie, so check it out. Next on my list is Ong Bak, the Tony Jaa movie from 2003.
Great movie.
Yeah, it's super. Basically, the first martial arts movie that they use no stuntmen, no wires.
Well, it's the first martial arts film in probably, you know, 15 years.
Yeah. Sure. Next on my list is Kill Bill Volume 1. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And it's almost unfair how great Volume 1 is, because it really builds up, at least for me, the anticipation that could not have even been met by Volume 2, but... Oh. When Volume 2 turned into the snore fest that it was, just kind of like, oh, great. But Volume 1 is outstanding.
Yeah. Personally, I enjoyed both of them, but, you know.
And I enjoy aspects of Volume 2. Yeah. I just thought that it really suffered from what I like to call Quentinitis. So, next on my list is House of Flying Daggers.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I think it is just so beautiful. It's gorgeous. A lot of people prefer Hero.
For me, I thought
that House of Flying Daggers was great.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy that one over Hero. So,
and then my final one is Drunken Master 2.
Hey.
The good one.
Ooh.
Now, I mean, Drunken Master's okay, but almost universally acknowledged outside of Alex, Drunken Master 2 is by far the superior film. It features the classic... fight with the swords underneath the train.
Yeah,
it's great. If you can find any of these movies, really, and a rainy Saturday afternoon, just spend your day watch them all right now.
Yep, there you go.
So
can't go wrong.
There you go. Bam. Just watched.
All right, so we just got done watching Monster Dog.
Monster Dog.
The Claudio Fragasso classic.
From 1984.
Oh, yeah. Starring... Yeah.
If you're unfamiliar with... Because we can't so quickly move past the Claudio Fragasso.
Yeah.
That's the magical director of Troll 2.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best worst movies, as Alex hates for it to be called. But yeah, so this stars Alice Cooper.
Yeah, well, it's Alice's face... on the screen, but it's Ted Rosoff's voice on the soundtrack. So
yeah, everyone was overdubbed. Everything.
Oh yeah,
is overdubbed, and Alice Cooper did not even overdub his own voice.
No,
they brought in the actor.
Yeah,
yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah,
do really. Not watch it. It wasn't even funny.
Yeah, if you thought that Troll 2 sucked, you will hate this movie.
Yeah, I love Troll 2.
And I thought this movie sucked.
I did. There was only even a couple things that were so bad to laugh at.
Oh, yeah.
It was just terrible.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, do not watch.
All right, recently viewed. This time around, I was a bad...
You didn't watch one. Just admit it. Just throw it out there.
I was bad. I didn't prepare. But I understand that you kind of made up for it. So why don't you take it away from here?
I did watch some. First one on the list. Movie called Sound of My Voice. Basically, the movie is about this couple. The guy is a teacher and the girl's kind of a reformed party girl. And they decide that they kind of want to be investigative reporters and investigate this cult. And basically the leader of the cult is this woman who claims to be from the year 2054.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Okay.
Where sounds it kinda,
anything but boring, so, yeah.
It is not. Yeah, it's one of those, the less you know about it, the better. If that plot synopsis sounds interesting to you, then, you know, go check it out. It was at Redbox. It's definitely worth $1.50 if you want something kind of original. You know, people always complaining about there's nothing original coming out of Hollywood. There's original movies out there, people. You just got to find them.
Yeah.
You know, it helps if you listen to this podcast.
Absolutely.
Bam! So, next one on the list, 50-50. 20,011 movie.
Edit that out.
Yep. 50-50. Movie from 2011, directed by Jonathan Levine, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt finds out he has a spinal tumor, and it's basically just the whole movie is about how he deals with this cancer. And if nothing else, it's a great movie because it's the movie that Seth Rogen is not annoying as crap in.
Yeah, I remember when that came out, and I was just going, you know, there's a good 50-50 chance that I could see this. As much as I enjoy Joseph Gordon-Levitt, my personal Lord and Savior, you know, there's that Seth Rogen factor that I'm just kind of going, I can't do this.
So, I would highly recommend it.
Okay.
I think it's a great movie. And it has one of the greatest busted for cheating scenes ever put to film.
Cool.
And, yeah, trust in the cast. Is what I would say.
Okay.
Preston Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
There you go. You can't go wrong.
Last one I saw was Moonrise Kingdom, Wes Anderson's new movie.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Really?
It was the highlight of my day yesterday.
Okay.
After watching those two pieces of crap in the theater. Yeah, I came home and watched that, and yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I would say it's the best thing he's done since Rushmore. It is so nice to see. Seems like some therapy has been working, and he's no longer gloomy and depressed, and he's starting to be happy about life again.
Yeah.
Because I found it really just kind of whimsical and upbeat and uplifting and just kind of a charming, fun story. I've really enjoyed it.
I will agree with that last part, yeah. I remember seeing it theatrically. It was okay. I didn't come away with a whole lot from it. But yeah, it was kind of fun and whimsical. It was so much better than that Fantastic Mr. Fox film, which I absolutely hated.
That had some interesting things that he did with that, and I appreciate the time that he took to, you know, because from what I understand, he like built all the sets and did the animation and everything for that movie. So, I mean,
it's a very
it was
dry
a kid's
humor.
Movie.
Oh yeah, it's a very dry humor. So
yeah, I mean. My kids hated that movie, which I thought was kind of funny.
Wait, which one are we talking about here?
The Fantastic Four.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that movie just flat out sucked. I thought we were back to
Moonrise.
Moonrise came in there. I was like, yeah, that's the dry humor film. I enjoyed it, but yeah, I hated Fantastic Mr. Fox. So.
Yeah, a lot of people do. People seem to either really kind of get into it or really hate it. I think I'm one of the few that I was kind of. I could see how someone could really get into it, and I could see how someone hated it.
Yeah, if they could have just trimmed off like the last 40 minutes, that movie would have been great. But yeah, it's just
it does wear out.
They get stuck underground, and you're just like, what? Oh, look, they're still underground. Wow, they're still underground. All right, wake me when they get up. Oh, okay. Oh, the credits are over. Oh, okay, I got to go home now.
Yeah, I would definitely say see Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah,
it's a good flick. Bam.
Alright, so.
If Hidden Gems were monkeys.
Alright, moving on, we've got the hidden gem of the show here. Again, I was bad and ill prepared, but Quincy, you apparently have a hidden gem this week.
Yeah, watched a documentary called The American Scream. It's a new documentary by Michael Paul Stevenson, who was. The star of Troll 2, but also the guy who directed the documentary Best Worst Movie.
There you go.
Basically, this documentary follows three families in a small town as they prepare for their yearly haunted house. Huh. And it basically follows three different families for the 30 days leading up, like kind of, you know, October 1st leading up to Halloween.
And right.
If that sounds like an interesting documentary to you, you're going to love it. You're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
Especially these people that just love Halloween so much, and they're all about building their own displays, and one of the guys even, like, tries to take it professionally by the end of the movie. And
wow.
It was good.
Okay.
It's worth watching. It's on Netflix. Check it out.
Awesome.
Bam. Now it's time for Test of Time. This week,
what do you have for us?
I decided to watch The Hitcher.
Oh, hell yeah.
The 1984 Robert Harmon classic. This guy also did They, which is a movie I thoroughly enjoy, and I'm one of the few that thoroughly enjoy it, but it's because this guy has a knack for creating tension, and I gotta say, After all these years, The Hitcher is still an intense, thrilling movie to watch.
Good to know.
C. Thomas Howell, on the other hand, not so entertaining. The guy, I used to really like this guy.
Yeah.
Watching him now, there's so many times when I was watching this movie, he looked almost exactly like Roddy McDowall from Planet of the Apes.
Ooh.
I'm not saying that to be insulting. I'm just saying it because it's true. There was, especially like near the end where he gets kind of dirty,
mm-hmm.
and he's got like this dirt on his nose, but these expressions he gets, it's almost like it looks like he's like someone... Right before they yelled action, they had like poop under his nose real fast and then moved it away. It's horrible. He's not a good actor. But Jennifer Jason Leigh is good, and Rutger Hauer is great.
Oh,
I would say it's one of his best roles outside of Blade Runner.
Shit, yeah.
So, yeah, if you've never seen it, definitely. And yes, this is Quincy, not the pod person. Definitely see the original and not the remake. Just ignore that Sean Bean remake.
Wow, I can't believe you just said that.
I know. I bet there's like three different people that are falling out of their chair and running into a pole or something.
The world is going to an end.
But, yeah. So, yeah, check it out.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying.
Now we're going to introduce you to a new segment of the show called
The Book is Better. This time around, I read Midnight Cowboy by James Leo Herlihy.
That's not a last name that flows off the tongue. Herlihy, Herlihy, Herlihy. Sorry.
Hey, yeah. It's...
Go ahead. I didn't even know it was based on a novel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been a huge fan of the movie for years, you know, with Dustin Hoffman and John Voight. Absolutely loved it. But I just, for whatever reason, happened to be in a used bookstore one day, picked it up, and I was like, you know, it's time. So took it home, read it, absolutely loved it.
And now you'll never watch the movie again.
Actually, no. I can still watch the movie. It's... The book.
The book had better be better.
Well,
or you really mistitled this segment.
How about that?
Actually, the book was okay. The movie was.
No, I mean the movie is still enjoyable. The book is kind of divided up into three parts. You've got kind of Joe Buck, where he's back in Texas, and then he, you know, of course, leaves Texas, goes to Manhattan with the hopes and dreams and aspirations of becoming a male hustler. Actually, the first part takes place in Arizona, and then he moves to Texas. And then the third part, of course, is where he's in New York. But
so
just,
how is the book different than the movie?
The book basically expands a lot on the character, because the movie pretty much picks up with Joe Buck leaving Texas, going to Manhattan, and then, of course, ultimately in the end, as they go down to Florida, is where Nilsson comes on.
So the movie basically just covers like the last third of the book? Is that what
you're
saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's, like I said, both are equally good. You know, it's one
but
of the
book's slightly better.
Well, the book, yeah, is slightly better. Like I said, just in the fact that, you know, it expands more.
It's called The Book is Better. It's got to be a little better. Or we're lying to people, the first one out of the gate.
Oh, this will be fun to edit. So yeah, like I said, if you enjoyed the movie Midnight Cowboy, definitely go do yourself a favor, find the book, seek it out. It's well worth your time. You know, it's a nice little, you know, take you probably about a day and a half, maybe 2 days to read, depending on how much time you have. And it's not exceptionally long.
Okay, so there you go. That was our episode this time. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Look for us on Facebook, of course.
Subscribe to us on iTunes. Feel free to leave a comment. Rate us.
Yeah.
It helps us in the standings.
Hell yeah.
You can also find us on justaphase.com.
Yep.
And just a reminder, last month you probably got a little spoiled, but this month we are not, I repeat, not doing the podcast every week almost. Yeah. So
we're back on schedule.
Back on schedule every other Wednesday, so 2 weeks from when you're hearing this.
Yep.
Or around then.
Yep.
Yeah, but we're coming back next time. It will be our special holiday episode.
Yep, we'll be there right before the big day, so tune in.
Gobble, gobble, gobble! Yeah, I say in preparation, make sure you've seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Home for the Holidays, Pieces of April.
Yep. Oh, speaking of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, this month on Talking Pictures, we do actually do Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So
really?
Yeah, make sure you check that out. That'll be out the second Monday of this month. So that'll
be a week from today.
A week from today, yeah.
So, nice. Yep. All right. Well, see you later, people.
Bye.
Bam!
This has been a Phase Media Podcast. Find us online at justaphase.com. That's Phase with a mother effin' F.
Phase.